when I was asked to speak on this, looked at the series of talks, and I thought, I'm not sure I'm very know much about intimacy. I'm a bloke, you know. We don't do intimacy very well. We're more adept at talking about football scores and things like that. We've got not a good record of talking about intimate parts of our lives, have we, us blokes? So this is a challenge for me, and hopefully I've risen to it, and God has been speaking to me about a few things about me personally. And we've been following on a series about love. We've looked at grace 2 weeks ago, and last week was about adoption and God adopting us. And tonight we're talking about God wanting to be intimate with us. And that's quite an amazing thing when we think about it. God, the maker of the heaven, the universe, the creator, the Lord of Lords, he wants to be intimate with us. That's quite an amazing thing to think about. Is the clicker working? Let's see. Yay. Intimacy. Where does the word intimacy come from? It's from the two Latin words. I'm not a Latin scholar, but Google's really good. Intimare means make familiar, and intimus means innermost. So the word intimacy is built on those two words, which really means make familiar with the innermost part of our being. So it's about a close personal relationship. It's about knowing the other person very deep inside, and God knowing us deep inside too. If you think about it as a different word, into me see, it's so that God can see into us and we can see into his heart as well. So think about into me see. Think of the word intimacy. He sees our hearts and he wants us to see his too. And that's quite a scary thing. I've had a conversation recently with someone, and I could see when you asked God to show you his heart, and you see his heart, and you see his heart breaks for people. You see his heart breaks for you. That's a scary thing to pray. But he does want us to have that intimacy with him and to know what he wants to share with us. So I'm going to break this talk into really three things. Walking, talking, and singing. Walking, talking, and singing. So bear with me. You'll see where I go, hopefully. And the first bit is a bit of a funny video. So just hopefully the sound on, Linda. So it'll all come clear in a minute. That's a video of various people walking into things while using their mobile phone. And I found the most amusing was the guy who was in like a fast food restaurant, and he kind of was walking through, all these people are sitting there having the lunch, and he falls into it, and they just go, oh, he's falling into it. And they carry on eating. He's just falling into the pool. And what are they doing? We can so easily get distracted. That's what I'm trying to talk about, is really we walk along through our lives, and there's so many things that distract us. Mobile phones are fantastic. I love my mobile phone. I spend far too long on it. God spoke to me recently about this. When I'm walking, when you're walking with a phone, it's dangerous. It's dangerous to walk, because if I'm walking with a phone now, I could fall off this step. So God's challenged me not to walk, and not just because it's dangerous, because he wants to spend time with us when we're walking. When we're walking in our lives, our daily lives, he wants to spend time with us. He wants to talk to us. He wants us to listen to what he's saying. The next slide. In some countries, this is a picture. There's two pictures. The top is like a pelican crossing with a red light along it, and the bottom is a pelican crossing with a green light along it. In some countries, in some parts of Sweden, Germany, and South Korea, they now have traffic lights on the floor. So people, instead of when they look at their mobile phone, they can, instead of getting killed, they can actually see the lights in front of them. A crazy world that we live in. But we're all guilty of it, aren't we? Using our mobile phones or being distracted by things that take us away from God. I'm going to talk a little bit about walking with God. I'm going to share a soppy story now. Minali's been married 30 years this year. She doesn't know about this. And I used to be, when we first going out, I was in the 80s, I was a new romantic, you know, into Duran Duran and all that kind of stuff. Now I guess I'm an old romantic. Sorry, it's a funny joke. I said to Ali, I still like walking hands in hand with my wife, you know, and walking along the road. And I said to her the other day, a few weeks ago, I said, you know, our hands fit together. They feel comfortable together. sorry, I'm being soppy, but the point I'm trying to make is that our hands fit in with God's hands. We are made and designed to walk hand in hand with the creator of the universe. That's the point I'm trying to make. I'm going to show you the first time we recorded in the Bible of God walking with man was after Adam and Eve had failed, that they took the apple, and he comes down to walk with them. Genesis 3, verse 8 to 9. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" Now, I don't believe that God just came down at that particular point. I can't prove it, but I believe God doesn't just come down to see Adam and Eve when they're messed up. I believe he would have had the habit of walking in the garden with Adam and Eve. And this is just so afterwards, when they have messed up, he comes down and says, "Where are you?" But we were made to walk hand in hand with him. They were walking with him before they took the apple. So we're made to have an intimate relationship with God. He knew where they were. So God is saying, "Where are you?" But God, he knows our innermost thoughts, our innermost being. He knew where they were. But he came down, after they messed up, he wanted to initiate an intimate relationship with them again. He says, "Where are you?" He knew, but he wanted them to respond, to have that relationship with him. In the Bible, there are lots of examples of men and women walking with God. The first recorded man is Enoch. In Genesis 5, verse 22, Enoch walked faithfully with God for 300 years. Genesis 6, verse 9, Noah walked faithfully with God. And another recording of what God says to us about walking with him. Micah 6, verse 8, "He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God." God wants us to walk humbly with him. And that means walking in the same direction. You can't walk with someone if you're going in the opposite direction. And you can't walk with someone if you're going too far ahead. Ali always, sometimes, not always, she sometimes tells me off, because I've got longer legs than she has. So I'm walking and she's like, slow down. And sometimes we walk through places where you think, this isn't what I expected where I was going to be walking. On a holiday recently, I planned some walks. It's a laugh now in my family. I plan these walks and they always seem to be in the end up strange in some way or through an obstacle of some kind. One walk went through and it hadn't been well used and it was just full of nettles. And sometimes that's our lives. We're sometimes going through difficult patches, but God is still walking with us. And there was another time we went walking and we were meant to be going through a big field, which was a deer farm. It sounded lovely. And there was fences to go over into this path across this deer farm. And it sounded really nice. When we got there was no deer, but there was lots of dogs. So we walked over this step, walking through this passageway with fence either side through this field, two hills on either side, and all these rabid dogs come start yapping down and barking at us. Sometimes that's our life. Sometimes we go through difficult times, and it's a case of just walking on, pressing on. God is with us. He wants to share our journey with us. Next thing I want to talk about is talking. God is always talking to us in different ways. It's just one example. 1 Kings 19, verse 12. It's talking about God calling Elijah. "Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?'" We need to hear God's still small voice talking to us sometimes. We can get taken up and listen to the earthquake or be shaken by the wind and the earthquake howling around us. God wants us to be still and to listen to him and have intimacy with him. We can hear God in many other ways, reading the Bible, our quiet time, and our prayer, but we need time to listen and acknowledge him and hear his still small voice. The Psalms are full of David and other men crying out to God. David wasn't scared to talk to God. So it's a two-way thing. You can't have a relationship with someone if they just talk to you and you don't talk back. So in Psalms, there's lots of examples of David saying, "Rescue me from the mire. Do not let me sink. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you. Come quickly, God, to help me." There's so many examples in the Psalms of David crying out honestly and sharing his heart with God. And they're full of poetry and song with the psalmist giving his innermost thoughts to God. Mark 14, verse 26. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus said, "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." And I think Louise shared about this last week, about God adopting us, and we're able to call him Abba, Father. It's an intimate term of endearment. Jesus called him that, and we can call him that. We can be intimate with God in that way. He wants us to be intimate with him. Singing. I love worship. I love singing. Tonight was a prime example of God. When we worship God, there's an intimacy there. There's his presence. We can feel in there. It comes from the old English word, which is worship, W-O-E-R-T-H-S-H-I-P, which means giving him what he is worth. So when we worship, when we're singing, we're giving him what he is worth. In the New Testament, the most common word for worship is proskuneo, I think it's pronounced, and that's an intimate word for worship, meaning to kiss the hand or feet, to pay homage. It's not just a just sitting there and singing a song. It's a very physical, intimate act of giving worship, giving homage to Jesus. It's an intimate worship. Is an intimate expression of our love for him. And I love worshiping. Sometimes there's no place. That's the song that goes, "I know place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be." But one thing I would just, I'm very conscious of myself, is that we're worshiping a person. We're not worshiping and getting an experience of God or of something. We're worshiping a person who wants to be intimate with us. And here's another shocking thing. God sings over us. As well as us singing to him, he sings over us. He delights in us. Zephaniah 3, verse 17. "The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you." Great delight in you. "In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but he will rejoice over you with singing." That's an amazing thing. The God of heaven, he rejoices over us. When we were born, he was there. He was there when we were made. When we made our decision to follow him, he was there, and the heavens rejoiced. They had a right party. He rejoices over us with singing. He thinks that each one of you is amazing. He thinks each one of us is amazing. And he wants to have a personal, intimate relationship with us. This is the tricky one. Song of Songs. The book in the Bible, Song of Solomon, sometimes called Song of Songs. It's a very intimate love poem between two lovers. I'm not going to read a lot of it out because it can get quite erotic in parts, and I might start blushing. It's called, often referred to as Song of Songs, in the same way that we talk about God being the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's like the ultimate, it's the best expression, it's the top, it's Song of Songs, not just a song, the Song of Songs. And it is a poem about lovers, but it's also, some parts of it portray an image of the relationship between God and his love for his people. And I'm going to switch to the next slide. It says, "His banner over me is love." That's from Song of Songs 2 verse 4. God loves us intimately. His banner over us is love. He wants us to have a really deep relationship with him. It's funny, when I, and that relationship is is deeper and different to any other relationship we can ever have. I remember when me and Ali first became Christians and in church, and you know, I like to sometimes raise my hands in worship, and sometimes, in the early days, I was stood there thinking, what's Ali going to think if I raise my hand? She think I don't love her anymore? You know, all those kind of weird thoughts come through your head. And but you know, the relationship with God is different to the relationship between a man and a wife. It's actually He wants us to give Him our innermost thoughts. But there's things we can share with God that we don't have time or whatever to speak with our partners or husbands or wives. But God has got the time for us. He's got the time for us to share our innermost thoughts with Him. And God is a jealous God. It's hard to think of God being jealous, but He is. When we go seeking after other things, when we get distracted by other things, when we worship other things, even though we don't realize we're worshiping them, God is jealous. He wants us. He wants our hearts. He made us. He wants us back. This is from Exodus 34, verse 14. For you shall worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. We've talked about God singing over us. It's because He's jealous for us. He wants us. He wants us to be close to Him, and He wants to be really close to us. Ephesians 1 verse 4, God chose you before the foundation of the world. You weren't an afterthought. God thinks the world of you. He thought about you before the creation, before the foundation of the world. That takes a while to sink that. Let that sink in. God chose you before the foundation of the world. The next slide is in two halves. The top half is a picture of part of the Snowdon Mountains. Last week, I went walking with my father-in-law. Some of you might know he was 80 last week. So for his birthday, he decided he wanted to go and walk up Snowdon, and I crazily agreed to go with him, trying to keep up with him as he went up Snowdon. So the top picture is a picture of one of the views as we were going up Snowdon. It was amazing. When you're up there, it's kind of like anybody who's been up a large mountain, and you kind of feel the still air and the views. It's absolutely incredible what God has made. And at the top, the bottom part of the screen here is an inscription that's on this. There's a big cafe at the top where those who cheat and go on the train can actually go and have a drink. it says there's an inscription on the wall. It says, "Here, you are nearer to heaven." Now, I'm not sure that's very theologically accurate. But I guess whoever put that there, who had that idea, I know where it's coming from. When you're up in the mountains and you realize, wow, this feels amazing. The views, the atmosphere, what God has made, His creation, absolutely amazing. And when I was up there, when I was thinking about this, the reason I've shown this is because it's quite amazing to think that God, the maker of this, maker of these mountains, who made them, formed them, formed the valleys, who formed the lakes and the streams. He wants to be intimate and close with us. The next picture is a picture of a little boy or man in a red top and a blue shorts at the bottom left of the screen, and he's holding up a broken heart, and he's saying, "It ain't much, but it's all I got." And there's a voice coming from the top right of the screen saying, "It's all I ever wanted." God wants our hearts. He wants us to be close to Him. And I don't know how you're feeling tonight, whether you're feeling like your heart's broken, whether your heart's not in the right place, whether you feel distant from God, or whether you feel like you can't trust Him. But He says we can trust Him with our hearts. He gave the best thing He had, His own Son Jesus, to make us, to allow us to have a relationship with Him. How we develop a relationship is very intimate to us, and how we have a relationship with God is very different for each one of us. But God is calling each of us to have that relationship. He worked from the very beginning. He worked throughout from the very beginning when Adam and Eve took the apple. Even from before then, he's been working throughout history to bring us back to him, to bring us into a place of communion with him. So, intimacy with God. I'm going to repeat again the verse I shared at the very beginning from Genesis 3, verse 8 to 9. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" And this is a challenge to all of us. Are we hiding from him? Are we scared of intimacy with God? Are we scared to open up our innermost thoughts? Are we scared of what he's going to think? But he knows anyway. From the midst of the garden, the God called to Adam, "Where are you?" And he's saying the same to us each day. Where are you? Will you share your heart with us, with me? Will you listen to my heart beating for you? So I'm going to finish with one final slide, and it sums it up really. God desires intimacy with each one of us. He desires intimacy with you. He wants you to open up to him. And he wants me to open up to him so that I'm walking with him daily. I'm not distracted. He wants us to know a love in a deeper way than we've experienced before. And that's what I feel the message is tonight. That he wants to tell us that he loves us, that he's singing over us, that his heart is for us. He wants to walk with us and he wants us to walk with him. So I'm going to pray. Because I feel God is wanting us to, wants to receive from him. So I'm going to pray. And if you feel that you want to, I feel like it's kind of not a big response, but I feel if you really want God to touch you and know him better and closer, in whatever way that is best for you, to just whether it's raising your hands or it's bowing or opening your hands to him, just do that as we're praying, if you don't mind. I'm going to pray. Lord, we just thank you that you want an intimate relationship with us and that you are working harder at that than we ever could. That you love us, that you sing over us, you're besotted with us. And you want us to open up our hearts to you. You know us intimately anyway, but Lord, help us. Help us to open up our hearts to you. Help us to know you better. Help us to find time in our busy lives, our busy days, to put away our distractions and to focus our eyes on you. Lord, will you come and touch each one of us now? All of us who need a fresh touch tonight, Lord, will you just come? Will you just come and meet with us, Holy Spirit? Will you come and mend our broken hearts when they need mending? Will you come and touch our hearts and change our thinking? Help us to learn to trust you with the big things and the little things. Lord, will you help us to know what in this week, in these coming weeks, these coming months, will you help us to know what it means to be intimate with you? Lord of lords, King of kings, we're so grateful that you chose us. That you chose us and that you want to be intimate with us. We love you, Lord. Will you just come and touch us now? Touch our hearts, Lord.